Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Going in. You alright? I hope you are. Lovely cup of tea first thing in the morning. Monday, Monday. Another day, another dollar. Another chance to put right what once went wrong. It's just ticked past 8 in the AM. British summertime on Monday the 15th of June in the year of our Lord. 2026, you're the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers, basically the best people on the earth, alive, watching Breakfast with Bo live, the Bo Show. Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club, hashtag the real LBC. Breakfast with Bo, you can buy some of these mugs. You can actually get one, for real. Imagine that. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, I'm all good.
Great, the disembodied voice of the all-powerful producer there. I hope you've had a good weekend. All right, shall we just get into it? Shall we stop fannying about? What's all this faffing about for? What's it in aid of? Nothing. Let's get on with it. What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors banging on about this morning? Right, we've got Australia plus social media ban. The UK's government attempting to censor society. And Russian incursion. Oh, we do have Royal Marines that can board and seize shipping on the high seas. Oh, we are capable of that. Oh, right, okay. Stop massive tankers, but not dinghies. Right, okay. Right. A couple other big bits of news. US and Iran deal, which was finally done, if it's done at all, last night in the wee hours, so it's not on the front pages of the print media, but we'll talk about it anyway because it is in the news. As of this morning. Okay. Little bit of football. It's the World Cup. It has kicked off now. But I'll keep it to a minimum. All right. Don't worry. Don't worry. I've got you. I've got this. You can rely on your history, bro. Not to talk about football too much. Don't worry. All right. Should we get into it then? The Guardian. Ugh. Straight off the bat with The Guardian. Oh. Leaves a bad taste in one's mouth, doesn't it? The Guardian. Disgusting, filthy socialist slop. Right. PM announces Australia Plus social media ban for under 16s. That is one of, if not the biggest news in the cycle in the print media this morning. So let's get into that. It's supposed to be about protecting children, but of course it's not really got anything to do with that. They really wanted to protect our children. They wouldn't be flooding our country with foreign migrants who per capita commit sex crime, particularly paedophilic sex crime, at an astronomical level. If they cared about kids, they wouldn't be doing that, would they? So it's not about that. Okay, so Keir Starmer, the most unpopular president, the most unpopular prime minister of all time, going back centuries, wants his legacy to be that he increased censorship, particularly digital censorship, massively. Don't you remember? Few weeks back, a couple of months ago, earlier this year, he wanted to introduce full legislation into Parliament, get it through Parliament as an actual act to ban social media to some extent for under 16s. And it didn't get anywhere because his own backbenchers are sort of hell-bent on removing him and kind of hate him as much as anyone else. So he had to abandon those plans. Do you remember that? Remember all that? Yeah? No? Well, now, he's just going to force it through anyway, it seems. Australia Plus, what's that talk about? Well, in Australia, oh yeah, how good. How good. They've got a ban on some social media for under 16s. It hasn't really been massively successful, really, because most kids, certainly by the time you're, 14, 15, 16, you're savvy enough to just get around it quite easily. Oh, there's just some other website, some other mirror, some other proxy site that just hosts the site you want to go on anyway. So you just do that. Or use a VPN. I don't know. I'm pretty technically inept, but I know it's easy enough to get around anything like that. So it's a bit of a nonsense anyway. And then the kids particularly older kids, again, like 14, 15, 16, they just simply resent it. Doesn't really change anything. Oh, okay, the argument is, we've been through this a few times, haven't we? Someone in chat says, kids in Australia got around it in days. Right, there you go, yeah. The argument is, isn't it, that a small child, really properly impressionable, small, delicate, fragile, innocent mind, sees something horrific on their phone. Why they should have a phone anyway, but some other kid, some other slightly older kid's got a phone in the playground and just shows them an image of some insane pornography or gore, like actual snuff footage, like someone actually being beheaded or something in Syria or something, and your little eight-year-old's in the playground going about their naive, innocent life. And some other kid just goes, there you go, and their psyche is ruined forever. Right? That's a genuine worry. Of course it is. Yeah, that's horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I don't deny that. But they're using that. They're using that argument and other ones like it to censor, to make a more censorious society, where, of course, they will decide what gets banned and what won't. Think they'll do it along political lines? Of course they will. Of course they will. Do you think this is a slippery slope, the thin end of the wedge? At first it's under 16s and then they'll say, oh no, now it's up to all under 18s. Now it's anyone who doesn't look, anyone who looks under 25. Now it's everyone. That's what it'll be. They're talking about how can you ensure that someone's over 16 or 18 or not? Facial recognition. You're going to have to do facial recognition stuff. Well, next it'll be iris scans or whatever, and then it'll be for anyone under 25, then it'll be for everyone. Won't it? Of course. Trot out Lisa Nandy, wheel out Lisa Nandy, saying, oh, no, we do understand that certain kids, most kids, will be able to get round it. It's to do with expectations. It's to do with managing expectations that smaller children, like 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, that they won't have the expectation that they'll definitely be able to watch anything they want online, and that changes the culture. I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it? It's just one more exercise in control. That's all it is. That's all it is. They don't care about kids. They don't care about the psyche of your innocent 9-year-old. They don't care about that. Just like they don't care about the grief of the family of a terrorist victim. They don't care about that. No, it's about their agenda and their control. All this is an exercise in power and control. Lead to that you can't be anonymous online. Right? That's what it'll be. You have to prove who you are to be online at all. In the end, you can see this is a slippery slope to that, isn't it? The end of the wedge to that. That we have to know how old you are so little kids' psyches don't get destroyed in the playground. We have to know how old everyone is. Therefore, you can't be anonymous. You have to show loads of details, your bank details, your passport, a face scan, an iris scan. Meanwhile, Palantir, or whoever, similar type things, they'll just get everything. They'll get everyone. A panopticon. A digital panopticon. That's Jeremy Bentham's idea of a prison where everyone's guarding everyone else. No one, you don't have any privacy ever. Everyone is everyone else's jailer. And meanwhile, there's an anonymous eye in the sky that may or may not be looking at you at all times, and you never know. A panopticon. Digital panopticon. That's what it is. Foucault talked about it. It's a Jeremy Bentham idea. That's what they want. And they'll sell it through cynically using the argument that small kids are in danger. That's the governments we've got right now in places like Australia and the UK. America came out and said it's not a great idea. The United States government, rather, came out and said it's not a great idea. Again, sort of J.D. Vance, people like that, saying this is just, you're just curbing freedom of expression, freedom of speech, what it will be. Again, Lisa Nandy on the Sunday shows or whatever saying, we did a poll and like 90% of all parents are in favour of it. Are they? Are they? They even know what they're talking about. One, I doubt that. Two, do a lot of them really know what they're dealing with? What they're talking about, really? It's like wheeling. You get a parent whose child has been involved in one of those crazy TikTok trends that somehow end in their death. Don't even know what they are. But you get a grieving parent like that, wheel them out and say, yeah, and they go, yeah, yeah, ban everything for under 16s. Yeah, yeah, it's to do with safety, sure. Right. It's like you get the relative of someone that's been stabbed to death and you wheel them out and they say, yeah, all knives should be banned. Everyone in the whole country should not be allowed access to a knife. Is this the best person to sort of set the policy debate? A grieving person? Probably not seeing the whole picture, the bigger picture. Probably not. This is obviously, for me, to my mind, obviously a slippery slope towards sort of complete censorship. Because, of course, again, it will be the government who decides what websites are or aren't allowed. And as soon as they've got under 16s, it'll be everyone. You'll end up where, quite quickly as well, I would have thought, end up in a situation where the government doesn't want you to see loads and loads and loads and loads of things, so they just ban them. They've got legislation where, going forward, they can just ban anything they want. And they do. So it'd be a website like Facebook or Twitter, X, or anything. And some information's going around about some new atrocity or something. And they'll just say, no, that's dangerous. Like they will have abandoned the under 16s part of it. That's just dangerous for people, for anyone to see, banned. I would like to see a world in Bowes, Britain, where very few things are banned, really. Very few things, in real life and digitally. Very few things. I'd like the government to be involved in everyone's life as minimally as possible, across the board. Not just in terms of taxes, but in a myriad of ways. Leave people to be people. If you've got a kid, it's up to you to police what they see. Not the government. All right. Okay. Football. Scotland had their first match. They beat Haiti. Haiti, sorry. 1-0. Okay. Let's just move on. Okay. Iran. Trump calls for restraint after Israel hits Beirut. So this news is a bit older than what's happened because, you know, these papers go to print last night at like 9, 10 p.m. or something. Or earlier than that sometimes. So at that point, Trump was still calling for restraint from Israel. Because over the weekend, over Saturday and Sunday, again, almost an exact replay-ish of what happened the previous weekend, Hezbollah fires some drones or rockets into Israel. Israel blow up some Hezbollah buildings in Beirut. Iran fires on Israel. Israel fires back. Trump, like trying to corral cats, says, everyone calm down, everyone stop. We're close to a deal. Well, it got some sort of deal. Possibly, potentially, kind of. In fact, should we dive into that now? Let's see, what have we got? Let's see what we got. Okay. Iran and US agree framework deal to end war as Trump says Strait of Hormuz will be reopened. Trump heralds Iran deal, but questions and risks remain. Let's have a look at this article. Let's read some of this article. So, yeah, in the wee hours of last night, Trump said they've made a deal. It's not a full peace deal where everything's done and all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. No, it's just an agreement in principle to sign a memorandum of understanding to give themselves another 60 days to talk about the real details about nuclear enrichment and stockpiles and things, but should lead to having the Straits of Hormuz fully opened. So it's a deal to start a deal to talk about a real deal. All right, I suppose it's better than nothing. Once again, I'm not hawkish. I don't actually hate Trump or anything. It would be best if there was some sort of deal, but people have noticed that the war aims, the original war aims back from February, none of those have really been met, have they? Trump did come out on that first night, didn't he, when the first night when they blew up the Ayatollah, said this is a war about regime change. Well, that hasn't happened, has it? Oh, actually, they dropped that reasonably quickly. Oh, actually, it's a war about nuclear bombs. Well, they still haven't got their hands on that. The nuclear dust, as Trump calls it. Their stockpiles of enriched uranium. Or struck a deal to where Iran promises never to try and enrich any more again. And let the IAEA and international inspectors into their country anywhere at all times. Nothing like that. Or got Iran to promise to stop funding and arming proxies all around the region. So, all right, now if the war aims are met, but all right. The announcement of a deal to end hostilities between the US and Iran has provided Donald Trump with a very welcome birthday present. Oh, it was his 80th birthday yesterday. The Donald turned 80 yesterday. So there you go. There was a UFC event at the White House. We'll talk about that later. All right. Alex Pereira got beat up. Okay, although it's wrapped in a fair measure of uncertainty, his birthday present, this deal with Iran, the US president said in his social media post heralding the agreement that the Straits of Hormuz would be open to commercial shipping and the US would lift its naval blockade. Let the oil flow, Trump exclaimed on Sunday. The spice must flow. Okay. He went on to declare that, in contrast with the failures of past US presidents, he secured a great, quote, a great deal that would bring peace and security to the whole region. What deal? This isn't the deal. This is a deal to start looking at a proper real deal. This isn't the deal. Say the word deal too much, it loses all its meaning, doesn't it? Such hyperbole is nothing new for Trump, of course. His declarations about last year's agreement ending the Gaza war, a peace for all eternity, and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God were equally sweeping, even as the reality on the ground has fallen far short. In such high-stakes diplomatic agreements, success or failure usually hinges on the details, and here the details are scarce. US Vice President J.D. Vance said in a Sunday evening interview with Fox News that Iran never possessing a nuclear weapon was built into the agreement. Do Iran think that? Are Iran clear on that? Will they never renege on that, like they always have done? And that the US will be able to verify compliance. Will they? Iran will let US, like, scientists, physicists, anywhere they want in Iran to verify at any time. Or just international ones. Will they? Yet questions remain over crucial issues, including what the restrictions on enrichment will be and what should happen to the stockpile of highly enriched uranium Iran now has. Yeah, they haven't agreed any of that. Some of this is sure to be worked out in subsequent negotiations. Is it sure to be? Why are you saying it's sure to be? It's not sure to be. I mean, I hope they do. Again, just be clear. I hope they do. And technical talks conducted during a 60-day extension of the current ceasefire. So, yeah, again, basically this is giving themselves another 60-odd days. But if anything is clear after decades of efforts to cajole and coerce Iran into giving up its nuclear ambitions, it's that there are no guarantees. Yeah. No matter what the US believes is secured in this memorandum of understanding. So that's all this deal is a memorandum of understanding. And no guarantee the Iranians won't just renege on it or just not abide by it in any way, shape or form. And then they've just bought themselves another few months or whatever. As if to underscore this point, Iran's Supreme National Security Council released a statement on Sunday saying that, quote, final negotiations will be postponed until after the implementation of the other parties, America, commitments and Israel, commitments under the memorandum. So they're sort of already saying, we're not going to do anything until you've done what we want. What those commitments are and how Iran interprets them will help determine whether this deal sticks. Yeah. So if Iran's war goals in this was to not get their regime completely annihilated, and to not give up their ambitions of nuclear enrichment, well, then they've got their war aims, haven't they? Limited as they are. Energy market experts warned that moving of oil through the Strait is unlikely to immediately return to pre-war levels, clearing a large backlog of tankers, removing mines and restoring regular oil shipping and production could take weeks. Do you have a quick look at the price of oil? It did fall. Look at this. West Texas, $80, just shy of $81 a barrel. Brent crude, $83.5 a barrel. Remember, the price, roughly, at the beginning of this war, was about $78 a barrel. It went up to, well, the highest point during this war was something like, wasn't it, $120? $118, $120, something like that. High, very high, that is. But not all-time high. And now we're back to only a little bit above what it was to begin with. That's remarkable. Again, as I always say, doesn't translate into what you or I end up paying at the petrol pump for gasoline or diesel. Petrol, as we limeys call it. Again, just not that much higher than when the war started. Kind of remarkable, I think. But okay, let's carry on. Just read another couple of paragraphs here. With several days to go before the official signing, Iran and the US have time to settle key details to ensure the deal's success, but there's also time for it to fall apart. Yeah, time for Israel to just launch loads of stuff against Iran, forcing Iran to retaliate. Another wild card is Israel, writes the BBC. This was always a three-way war. It's more than three-way, actually, isn't it? The Yemenis, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, the UAE, Hezbollah. More than three ways, isn't it? Anyway, this was always a three-way war, writes the BBC. And Trump told the Wall Street Journal on Sunday that he was furious at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Why are you always talking about Benjamin Netanyahu? You're never going to meet him. For ordering strikes on Lebanon this weekend that he believed might torpedo the almost completed Iran deal. Okay. All right. You get it. That's basically where we are with the Persian War at the moment, is that the Donald and Iran have got some sort of something in place to agree on a memorandum of understanding to give themselves 60 days to actually make a real deal. But Trump's hailing it as like, it's done, like it's a done deal. Okay. Apparently they're going to send J.D. Vance somewhere in Europe, maybe Paris, who knows, somewhere in Europe to sign this deal on Friday, this coming Friday. The way this war goes, that's ages, isn't it? I wouldn't be surprised if more ordnance is flying through the skies of Persia and Mesopotamia and the Near East between now and Friday, one way or another. Again, I'm not happy about that. But I just wouldn't be surprised. All right, should we carry on? Should we talk about some of the other headlines, what we've got? Okay, so the Royal Marines. Royal Marines storm Russian shadow tanker. It's one of Mr. Putin's zombie ships. Remember those? It's a ghost zombie tanker. So this is a big tanker in the North Sea. It's under the flag of Cameroon, I think it is. But actually, it's just Russian. It's like basically controlled by Russia, or there's Russian oil on it. But where there's so many sanctions on Russia, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? They'll register the tanker under some other country, and then when authorities, people get suspicious of that, they'll change it. So this tanker apparently has changed its designation a couple of times over the last year or 18 months or so. At the moment, technically, it's like Cameroon. But everyone knows, everyone who's in the know says it's just Russian. Okay. So perhaps this has got something to do with the fact that we've got a new defence secretary now. And he wants to flex his muscles a bit. I don't know. The mainstream media, from what I've read this morning, haven't said that. But that was the feeling I got. It was one of the first things I thought. Anyway. Some Royal Marines flew over it in a helicopter and fast roped down onto the deck and seized it, took control of this tanker. Right, so we do have Royal Marines, and we do have resources and money and materiel and manpower and the ability for specialist Marines to board shipping, any type of shipping at sea. We can do that. Right, yeah. It's one of the very few things Britain is still, like, not bad at, pretty good at. Exactly that. I don't think they're even SBS, Special Boat Service. They're just Royal Marine, I say just, but they're Royal Marine Commandos. So we can do that. We've got the ability to stop and seize a giant tanker like this. But a little dinghy with invaders, per capita, a very large number of them are violent and or sex criminals. We can't stop those, apparently. Right. Right. It's obviously to do with political will, isn't it? There's the political will to do this, so it gets done. There's no political will to stop the small boat invasion. Another way of saying that, isn't it? Is that they want it, the small boat invasions, but they welcome it for some bizarre reason. They want our women to be unsafe. They want our streets to be unsafe. They want to add to the organised crime problem in this country. Otherwise, they would have the political will to stop it, wouldn't they? They would send geek guys like this, a few guys like this, to stop a few dinghies over the course of a week or two. And then the smugglers get the idea that all dinghies are going to be stopped in the channel. But no. No, there's no political will to do it. So the invasion continues. Even though illegal migration is the tip of the iceberg, really legal migration is where the giant numbers come from. Is there a party out there that's pledged to reverse legal migration? And in fact, if that means millions must go, then millions must go. Is there a party that says that? That's their platform, is it? Yeah. Mr. Lowe's Restore Britain. I joined Restore Britain. Good stuff. Aim high, vote low. Okay. Starmer to unveil social media ban for under 16s. Sweeping change to come after 90% of parents call for action. Let's not question those numbers. 90% of all parents, do they? I doubt that. I highly doubt that. The Metro, ugh. Ew. Gross. Dear the Metro, stop. Just stop it. You're gross. Okay. Royal Marines sweep on tanker. As PM rushes through social media ban, Starmer is gambling with young lives. Look, see, they trotted out this guy. His child somehow died or committed suicide. Apparently saw some terribly distressing content and killed themselves. So they'll trot him out to tell you what direction the whole country should go. The very nature, the very fabric of our society, how censorious it is. He'll lead the debate on it. Right. In fact, he says his take was that it's not good enough. It's not like Starmer's rushing through. It's a bit of a sledgehammer, bit of policy. It's not good enough. It should be better than that even. Even what Starmer's doing here isn't really quite right for this guy, but okay. Let society be dominated by those who sort of emotionally and intellectually aren't really up for the task of it, aren't in the right headspace. Crazy, right? Crazy. The Star, again, Scotland won a football match, right? Here's that tanker again. They think it's oil over. Didn't they go with that headline before already? You know, I've mentioned, haven't I, once or twice, for any Americans or any foreigners who might not know, or Zoomers who are very, very young, in the 1966 World Cup final, where we beat West Germany 4-2, there was a goal in the dying seconds of the game. People started to go on the pitch. The commentator says, they think it's all over. Then Jeff Hurst scored a goal, and he says, it is now. They think it's all over. They think it's oil over. See, very clever wordplay. Very, very clever. They had a team of wordsmiths working round the clock on that one. Royal Marines seize Putin tanker in channel. And look, there's Vladimir Putin there, and he's got a little speech bubble. He says, it Vladdy well is now. They think it's oil over. It Vladdy well is now. They're treating you like a small child, aren't they? Like a complete idiot. If you're out there and you read The Star on a daily basis and enjoy it, you're a moron. Don't really bother with the news. Don't try and keep up with the world and what's going on. You're not capable of it, probably. The Times, the venerable Times. Hamilton on top as Brits go 1-2-3. Oh, yeah, it's the first. I know you don't like it, so very quickly. There was the Barcelona Grand Prix yesterday. And the whole podium, 1, 2, and 3, was British people. Lewis Hamilton won his first win for Ferrari. There you go. That's all. Oh, he won it on pace as well. Ferrari made the right race strategy decisions for once. And he won it legitimately on pace. There you go. Lewis Hamilton. Bumham, quote, would launch immediate challenge to PM after victory. That's King Andy Bumham the First with his eyeliner and double chins. No sternum burnum. Reckons he will launch his challenge to Keir Starmer straight away upon becoming an MP. Okay, there's another picture. Look, there's the Marines. Look, he's fast roping down. Look, the Royal Marines. Raid on Russian shadow vessel. Just the beginning, says our defence establishment. Royal Marines board tanker from helicopter. Starmer vows Putin will not evade sanctions. Just keep jabbing the Russian bear in the eye with a dirty stick whilst not spending enough on defence. Good idea. Good idea. All right. Inside the dramatic raid on Putin's oil tanker. It wasn't very dramatic. That fast roping down was the most dramatic bit. Like, there was no gunplay. No defence was put up. It's not that dramatic, is it? Okay. King Andy Bumham, the first of his name. I'll keep triple lock and look at tax cut for pensioners if I become PM. Andy Burnham, I can't be able to read it. It's just nonsense. Just Andy, no Sternum Burnham, just saying whatever he thinks he'll need to say to win an election. It's just nonsense. But look, there's Sir Lewis again. He won. Actually, I don't like Lewis Hamilton. There's one last thing on it, because I love F1. I know you guys don't care. So one last thing on it, I'll just say. I don't like Lewis Hamilton, the man. His politics are insane. Like, he's like an environmentalist and really, really pro-BLM. He's got a massive chip on his shoulder about being half black. He really has. Like, Breonna Taylor, the whole nine yards, taking the knee, making Mercedes a famously silver. The Silver Arrows Mercedes. Ever since the early 20th century, they've always been silver. That's their name, the Silver Arrows. Mercedes race team. He made them change their livery to black during the BLM era. Right, so Lewis Hamilton, politically, is an idiot scumbag. However, he is one of the best to ever do it. One of the very, very best to ever drive a race car. And he hasn't won in quite a while, like a couple of years or so. And his genuine joy at winning this race, his genuine childlike glee at winning it was nice to see. It was nice to see. Because you would think a guy that's been there, seen it, done it all, would just be a bit jaded. It's like, yeah, great, yeah, tiny bit of a renaissance for my career. Throw it on the pile of the 105 other race wins I've got. Yeah, okay. But no, he was like a little kid again. And it was nice. I thought it was really nice to see. All right, I know you don't care about F1. I'll move on. Starmer, no more money for defence. Yeah, now he's got the new, now that when that John Healey resigned, he's got a new defence secretary. And the new defence secretary said, yeah, we still need that, the more money we asked for, at least 18 billion. You know, the whole reason John Healey resigned is because you promised him 18 billion and then you said you're only actually going to give him 13.5 and he resigned because of that. Well, I still want we still need that 18 billion. And Starmer was just like, no, you're still only going to get the 13.5. Oh, and go and poke the Russian bear in the eye of a stick and take one of their tankers off of them. Right. Okay. Face scans to police under 16 social media ban. There it is. There you go. We need to protect little kids in the playground. Therefore, everyone has to have their face digitally scanned. and Palantir will see it all. And you won't have any anonymity. A part of your humanity will be stripped away from you, effectively. No, you can't be anonymous online because you might like a Tommy Robinson post or something. Trump lashes out on Netanyahu over Israeli attack on Lebanon. Okay. Here's one. Churchill let Indians starve, gallery claims. Did he? It's due to the Bengal famine. At the National Gallery, there was some sort of video art installation where it was saying that. Did he? Do you know the details about the 1943 Bengal famine? Do you really know the details about it? Do you? Mr. Churchill let them starve, did he? Did he? It wasn't the war with Burma. It wasn't that the Japanese invaded. It wasn't that modern-day Bangladesh and parts of eastern India weren't reliant on Burma for loads of their food. And the Imperial Japanese Army invaded Burma. It wasn't that. No, it was Churchill. All right. It wasn't that there was a giant cyclone, some sort of terrible storm system which ruined crops. It wasn't that, no. It was Churchill. Oh, okay. Again, I'm no fan of Churchill. I'm on record here many times saying I'm not a fan of Churchill, the politician. Big fan of Churchill, the historian, the writer of prose. I think he's very, very good at that. Churchill, the politician, got all sorts of questions and concerns. However, he wasn't responsible for that famine. That lie is pretty disgusting. How anyone can look at history and not blame it on Japan, on the weather and Japan? Oh, it wasn't that. It was Churchill. Could we have shipped loads more food to alleviate that famine? Yeah, they tried, but the seas were controlled largely at that point, 1942 into 43, by the Imperial Japanese Navy. But you're going to blame it on Churchill, right? It's the British fault. The British deliberately starved 2 million Indian people, modern-day Bangladesh people. It's just not true. It was to do with weather and the war. The Imperial Japanese Army invading Burma and controlling the seas of that part of the Indian Ocean. Okay. Don't particularly love to play defence on behalf of Churchill. Did lots and lots of things wrong. I just see someone in the chat, just all capitals, Dresden. Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. I've got lots of content, a fair amount of content about the war in various ways. I'm not going to play defence on behalf of Churchill. But that one, it's just not true. It's just not really true. All right. What's Tim Stanley got to say? Don't care. Stupid idiot child shill. Whatever his paymaster's told him to say, that's what Tim Stanley said. Okay, the Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Daily Express now. As MPs debate calls to reverse tax hike hitting OAPs, Chancellor is warned, stop treating pensioners as an easy target. There you go, they're having a pop at Rachel Reeves. For treating pensioners as an easy target in her ludicrous tax hike hitting older people. Okay. The Sun, look, Sir Lewis is really happy he won a race. Storm hits World Cup, three Lions on alert. It's just a story that where the England team, their first games, I think, on Wednesday. They're staying in Kansas and 80 mile an hour winds hit their camp, but they're all right. They're all right. England aces put in lockdown, moved to a safe area of hotel. They're fine. It was no big deal at all. But the Sun decide today that that's the front page news. That's the most important thing in the world, that there were 80 mile an hour winds in Kansas near where the England team are. You get the idea that when the World Cup is in full swing, it will be this wall to wall every day. All right. The Financial Times. Oh, look, there we go. There's the so-called claw. That's the White House there. birthday bash, US President Mark's 80th birthday, with fighting contest in grounds of White House. So there's White House, and there's a temporary thing. In fact, there's a... Was it on the Mail? Was it the Mail? The Express? I thought it was on the Mail. There was... Okay, there's no picture of it. I thought there was... Give me a moment. Okay, there was a story all about it, but it's the page seems to have updated in the last half an hour or so. All right, I'll just move on. There was a UFC event last night at the White House, and they made... In fact, Harry, can you bring up another tab, like Google Images, and just type in White House UFC and go on the images, just so people can see it? Yeah, so Dana White standing on the balcony of the White House with Donald Trump, launched a UFC event. Look, there you go. Look, there you can see, look, there's the actual White House. And they made this big sort of temporary stage, like a giant gazebo, basically. Again, it's the 250th birthday of the United States, isn't it? And Trump's 80th. Yeah, and it was quite, I thought it was quite surreal to see. Look, there's an octagon, the octagon, and the White House in the background. Yeah, there was a whole UFC event, and there you go, I just thought it was interesting. I like UFC. Yeah, the only one I saw the result of was that Alex Pereira got beat. Oh, there was one. There was one thing someone said. Was it that? Yeah, look. Was it Josh Hockett? This guy is called Josh Hockett. He won a fight. And he grabbed the microphone, like when Joe Rogan goes up to them afterwards, say a few words. He grabbed the microphone and yells, "Michelle Obama is a man." Big Mike. He called out Big Mike for being a dude. With a Star Spangled Banner do-rag on in front of the White House. I am a real American. Oh, cool. All right. I've got to look at all the fights later today and watch them. I quite like UFC. All right. Justin Gethin fought. I'd be interested to know what happened there. All right. What else have we got? The Mail, pure slop. Oh, Roy Hattersley has died, age 93. He's a blast from the past. If you're foreign or you're not old enough, you've never heard of Roy Hattersley. He is a Labour dude. So, you know, I don't agree with the things he said, his politics. In fact, he was involved in the government of the 70s, which was disastrous. But he was one of those politicians, even though he's not on your side, right? You must know of a few. They're not on your side, but they're likeable. Like you disagree with their politics, but them as a person seemed nice. Roy Hattersley? Anyone's old enough to remember? Anyway, or the Lord Hattersley, that you can see him in his ermine. He's died. 93, though, not a bad innings, especially for a heavier gentleman. 93. All right, we've got a Rupert Lowe thing here. As leader Rupert Lowe says far-right thug Tommy Robinson is welcome to join his party. Opposition politicians issue warning. Restore is the new home for neo-Nazis. Read all about it. Warning. Are you a normie who's afraid of anyone that gets called a neo-Nazi and you don't bother looking into it for yourself? Is that you? Well, be warned. That's what Restore is. They're full of neo-Nazis like Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson's not a neo-Nazi. It's just not. No more than Nigel Farage's, which is to say, not at all. They're not neo-Nazis. Neo-Nazis. Or German National Socialists. New versions of German National Socialists. The Daily Mail. Pure globalist. Globalist slop. Containment. Utter containment. From start to finish. Like that the Mail is on your side. Is nativist or patriotic in any way? No. Pure globalist containment. Where should we go with that? Restore is the new home for neo-Nazis. I wonder if that's actionable. I wonder if Mr. Lowe can actually take the mail to court for that. It's not worth it, is it? Probably. Well, I wouldn't, but maybe he could. Rupert Lowe faced a furious backlash last night. Well, just from his political enemies. Not a real backlash from normal people. No, his political enemies generating a contrived backlash. Right, okay. Last night, after he said Tommy Robinson was welcome to join his party. Yeah, because that's normal. Like, what's it got to do with Rupert Lowe? Tommy Robinson, like any normal human being, is at liberty to pay his 20 quid and be a member. In fact, let's have a look. It was in the on the website. On the website, there was the story. I was going to read it. Again, the thing is, the webpage has refreshed since I set this up this morning. There was a whole article here about it. I guess I'll just have to tell you what it was from memory. Again, they just did another hit piece on Rupert Lowe and Restore, where it quotes a few different people from Reform. Quote Graeme Towler, throw that in there. Quote the deputy leader of the Liberal Democrats. And they'll just mention Steve Laws. They'll mention Angloid. Poor old Angloid. Mentioned by name. He's a hardened neo-Nazi. Angloid is, according to these Muppets. And of course he's not. He's a good kid. Right? He's a perfectly reasonable young man. Angloid. Isn't he? If anyone knows. Perfectly reasonable young man who's actually got the balls to stand up and say, actually, I've noticed my country's being destroyed by mass immigration. Can we not do that? That's being a hardened neo-Nazi, according to this containment machine. All right. Lucy White. They have a pop at Lucy White. Neo-Nazi Lucy White. No. Again, just someone who's noticed their country being annihilated. They've noticed they're getting demographically replaced in their one and only ancestral homeland, becoming a hated and marginalised minority in their own ancestral homeland, and don't want that for the future, for their children and things. That's beyond the pale as far as the male group is concerned. You're a hardened neo-Nazi if you want that. If you don't want endless stabbings and beheadings and sex crime and to be demographically annihilated, there's no moral difference between you and a Nazi. That's how the male will have it. Isn't that sickening? Isn't that truly sickening? Tommy Robinson, real name Stephen Yaxley Lennon, a very, very weak-wristed milquetoast civnat. He's beyond the pale. He's a neo-Nazi. He should be ostracised from all parties. Rupert Lowe's made a terrible mistake by allowing him to become a member. They got a quote from Rupert Lowe and he said, and Rupert Lowe just said, yeah, it's got nothing to do with me. If he wants to pay his 20 quid, fine. If I allowed him into the party hierarchy and he got a decision-making role, then come back and we'll talk and you can criticise me. But I haven't done that. That's not what's happening here. He's just paid his 20 quid. That's all. But the containment machine's gone into overdrive, haven't they? They've decided they'll turn the dial from pretending Restore and Rupert don't exist to full attack. Just full attack now. Anything they can get. Angloid. Have a proper Angloid. Horrible, horrible. Insane, really. Insane. That they would just try and destroy and demonise a movement that doesn't want us to be destroyed in our own ancestral homeland. That's the problem. A political movement that doesn't want us to be annihilated. That's the problem. That must be attacked from all angles at all times, as hard as possible. Lie about it, even. Put it on the front page. Remarkable, really. Sickening. Okay, The Mirror, they've got their campaign to try and save the lives of kids that drown every year. Good, good. Not being sarcastic. Good, of course it is. Mirror's water safety drive I don't want anyone else to go through this. Yeah. A bereaved father of a child that, I guess it is, what is it? It's sudden cold water shock. I think on a really hot day, you think, oh, I'll just jump in a reservoir or a lake or a river, cool down. And it can send you into shock and like, and you drown. Yeah, if we can raise awareness about that, good. Is it the most important thing going on in the world right now? Probably not. All right, they're the front pages. They're the front pages for today. Let's have a look at our poll. Harry, can you bring up the poll? Oh, there it is. Okay. Glare on the screen. What's going on with the lights? It never used to be that bad. Okay, glare on the screen says, we asked you guys, over 1,300 votes, do you support a social media ban for under 16s? Oh, just a straight up, do you support that? A cool 78% of you say no. 22% of you say yes, though. Get out. What are you voting yes for? They better be trolling me. Get out. You're not welcome here. This isn't the right show for you. Don't go. Don't go. I didn't mean that. I'm joking. I'm mucking about. Don't go. We can still make this work. I still love you, baby. Please. I just get scared sometimes. Don't go. Don't go. That joke's not getting old for me. I'll probably keep doing it. All right. What else have we got? Shall we have a look at one or two more of the stories? Oh, it's already 10-2. Just a look at the Sun. They go with something, a couple of things completely different. And now for something completely different. You remember that, what's his name? Richard Ayoade. I can never pronounce his name. You'll know the guy, if you're British anyway, watch British TV. That guy, he was in the IT crowd, he was the nerd in the IT crowd. He was involved in a car crash. He didn't crash, someone else crashed into him. There you go, important news from the Sun. Very important news. This guy, he was in Yemen. He's a free climber. Doing daredevil things, fell to his death. Again, important stories. Important stories. A woman with big breasts is breastfeeding. There you go. Don't know who she is and don't care. All right. All right. Let's just... The Sun. What a joke. All right. Let's do On This Day in History bit. Should we do that? I quite like that section. You guys seem to like that section. On this day in history, down through the centuries, or indeed millennia, what happened of note? June the 15th. On this day, in the year 763 BC, Assyrians recorded a solar eclipse that will be used to fix the chronology of Mesopotamian history. That's very interesting. They do that a fair few times, where ancient Mesopotamian or Chinese records record the individual day of a solar eclipse, or sometimes even lunar, things to do with the lunar calendar, and then scholars spend years and years and years working out the exact chronology. It was paid to the lie of some weird fake historians, weirdo armchair guys that say the chronology of human civilization and history is all wrong. There's actually only been a few hundred years between now and the ancient world, not thousands of years. That's just pure nonsense. Okay. On this day in 1215, King John of England signs the Magna Carta at Runnymede near Windsor in Surrey, limiting royal authority and establishing the principle that the king and his government are not above the law. Do you guys reckon that my show behind the paywall, Bodade's Epochs, you consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership? Hundreds of episodes. I'm up to like episode 270 odd. So hundreds and hundreds of hours, every single one long form. An hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, occasionally more. Do you think that on Bodade's Epochs, behind the paywall on Lotus Eaters, I've got content all about King John and the Magna Carta? Reckon that's there for you, should you wish to sign up? You want a few hours of me talking about the Magna Carta? A few hours of me talking about John and his older brother, Richard I, the Coeur de Lion, the Lionhearted, and his father, Henry II, Henry Plantagenet? Oh yeah, it's all there. It's all there. All right, the Magna Carta, the Great Charter, where John's barons forced him to sign a document, kind of ending absolute monarchy. But it wasn't long. I think it was only a few months, wasn't it, wasn't long at all before John found himself in a much stronger position and went to war with his barons over it. He reneged on it quite quickly, nonetheless. Nonetheless, the story's long and complicated, and it's fact, in fact, in the generations after John, when the Magna Carta was revived, and people looked back at it and said, at various points of monarchical weakness, looked back at that and said, oh, look, remember the Great Charter? We want that. We insist on that still. So in the age of John's son, Henry III, for example, it's a long, complicated story. If you want a few hours of it, it's there. Fascinating stuff. Okay. Daneborg. On this day in 1219, according to legend, Daneborg, the flag of Denmark and the oldest national flag in the world, falls from the sky during the Battle of Tallinn in Estonia and turns the Danes' luck. Well, it's falling from the sky. Bring that image up, Harry. There you go, look. Falling from the sky. Definitely happened. Okay, on this day in 1389, Ottomans defeat the Serbian army in the bloody Battle of Kosovo, opening the way for the Ottoman conquest of southeastern Europe. Large losses on both sides, including Sultan Murad and Serbian leader Prince Lazar. Yeah, the expansion of the Ottoman Turk into Europe proper. They got all the way as far as the gates of Vienna, didn't they? The Ottoman. Before finally being turned back and ultimately defeated in World War One in the end, with the help of T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia. Went hours of me and Luca chatting about that. It's there. Okay, on this day in 1775, George Washington is appointed Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army a day after Congress establishes the force. That's an interesting little bit of history. When the United States, the 13 colonies, became the United States, they're effectively already at war with Britain. They're like, well, we need an army. Right, okay. We need a commander. Who's it going to be? There's a little bit of wrangling, but mostly it was straightforwardly always going to be George Washington, a Virginia man. And he was very, very humble about it. You know, there's certain people in history that are sort of massive figures and bombastic and a giant ego that dominates the room. And someone like Napoleon, perhaps. Somebody, you know, a bit like maybe Donald Trump. Sort of very, very big character, right? That's not what George Washington was like. He was very, very humble. He's physically big. He was very, very humble and quite softly spoken. And he sort of graciously accepted. He wasn't being like shamelessly self-promoting himself in order to get that command. No. George Washington, fascinating person. On my own channel, Harry. On History Bro, I've got a whole channel that's just about history. That's not behind a paywall. That's there for free. Everything there's free. Long form. Got a long form bit of content talking to Benjamin Boyce, the great Benjamin Boyce, old Boycey, talking all about George Washington. Okay, all right, that's there. On this day in 1896, a tsunami strikes a Shinto festival. A tsunami strikes a Shinto festival on the beach at Sanriku, Japan. 27,000 people are killed. And 9,000 are injured and 13,000 houses are destroyed. I didn't know much about this. In fact, I've not heard of it before. That's bad, isn't it? Not that long ago either. A tsunami strikes a beach festival. 27,000 people are killed and 9,000 injured. That must have been a scene of unbelievable horror. Imagine that. So like a whole beachfront just filled with people and they're all just swept away and crushed by a tsunami. Horrible. Horrible. Have you ever seen the footage from, was it 2005, was it? Big tsunami hit Japan in, I think it was 2005. It's not like a massive wave. You know, like a big wave that surfers ride and there's a tube and they, so like that type of wave. It's not like that, is it? Well, the 2005 one wasn't. It's just like the tide is coming in It just doesn't stop coming in quite fast. But not crazily fast, not like hundreds of miles an hour. It's just like the tide is coming in really fast, pretty fast, and just doesn't stop. That's what that one was like. I wonder if, because there are different types of tidal wave, aren't there? Or tsunami. I think some are like that, just a giant wave. It's like a 8 stories high wave in one go that's travelling really fast. That is possible as well, isn't it? But okay, all right. On this day, 1940, German troops occupy Paris as French resistance to the German invasion crumbles. Yeah, the Battle of France is over. The Battle of Britain is over. Anyway, Heinz Guderian and his Panzer divisions drive straight through the impenetrable Ardennes forest. A massive left hook from the Germans instead of a Schlieffenplan right hook takes them unawares. France falls. And there's photos of, like, Hitler and some of his henchmen. Hitler and Albert Speer standing, posing in front of the Eiffel Tower. Wehrmacht troops goose-stepping down the Champs-Élysées. It's all there, check it out. All right, on this day in 1991, climatic eruption of Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. The second largest volcanic eruption on Earth in the 20th century. I was only a kid then. I'd only been 10 years old. I don't remember that. I was only 10, so. I don't remember that being sort of a giant thing in the news, but. Okay, fascinating, nonetheless. All right, shall we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? It's already gone 9. Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen for the Rumble Rants. Do you think Global Church is going to be in at number 1? I genuinely don't know. Let me go across and scroll down. Is it? Yes. It's a good day. And still, Global Church History in at number 1. A couple of factoids he usually gives us. What have we got? He says, on this day in 1520 AD, Pope Leo X promulgated Exsurge Domine, which threatened to excommunicate Martin Luther. Well, they did in the end, didn't they? But yeah, Martin Luther was threatened with it for a while and he had to stand trial. And expected to be found guilty and just handed over to the Inquisition and executed. Things went differently. And the rest is history. Okay. The other one you've got is on this day in 1826. The Janissaries were disbanded after their failed coup. Yeah, the Janissaries. That's a whole story in and of itself. A whole saga. Supposed to be some of the greatest fighters, warriors of all time. They're not really. Okay, moving on. Matthew C. says, Mom, the reform bots are posting cringe again. Yeah, reform bots. It was shame, wasn't it? I think we did a video on it about it on the State of Politics the other day. State of Politics. Mine and Nate's channel, Mr. H Reviews, showing that reform are just using quite a lot of bots. Well, there are bots that are nominally pro-reform posting each other. Weird, gross, pathetic, so lame. All right, reform bots posting cringe again. Yeah, they shall continue to do so, no doubt. All right, Fortean Barber says, morning, mate, all right? Yeah, I'm all right. Good weekend, ? Yeah, it's great, thanks. Yeah, it's nice, really nice. Hope you had a good one too. Mine was fine, but I missed T-Slop Sunday. Oh, sorry, T-Slop Sunday. T-Slop. And have a sore throat this morning. Lucky I have a very long day ahead. The turnout at Makerfield was good to see. Amazing. Yeah, there was various images and clips from Makerfield over the weekend showing that the number of activists Restore was able to galvanise, were able to get out on the streets. It was really, really very good. Some say as many as 1,000, some say as many as 1,200, others say it's as low as 500 or 600, but whatever it was, it wasn't nothing. Whatever it was, the argument that it's just one man and his online anti-Nigel social media account, it's just not true, is it? It's just not true. That Restore is just one social media account, it's an echo chamber for disenchanted rightoids online. Just angry young men that are incels and live with their mother in their mother's basement. There's nothing more to it than that. No? It's people from all walks of life, all ages. They want their country back. They've noticed that they've been invaded to the tune of millions, millions. Since 1997, something between 10 and 20 million new people, many of whom are not our friends, are not allies, many of whom are involved in terrible things. We've noticed that. We don't like it. It's a mass movement. It's a mass movement now. You keep coping that it's one man with a social media account. It's all going to collapse within a month. Yeah, cope harder. Keep huffing that copium while we go on to win. Fallen Firebird says, good morning, Bosif. Even if we don't necessarily care about F1, seeing someone with interest and passion in a topic is infectious anyway. Oh, thank you. You go off on one if you want to, King. Love you, sir. Oh, that's very kind. That's very kind. Yeah, I agree, actually. When you find someone that's really interested in something, even if you don't necessarily care about the thing all that much, yeah, the fact that they do, that they've got genuine enthusiasm for it and are enjoying talking about it and explaining it. Yeah, you're right. I hope that's the case. I do hope that's the case. We did do a poll, though, once, didn't we? Anyone that watches the Bo Show religiously will remember. We did a poll, and it was overwhelming when asked specifically about F1, not just football or sports ball in general, but F1. It was fairly overwhelming that the glorious band, The Chosen Few, don't really care about it. Anyway, if it's in the news, if it's on the front page, that's what this show is, isn't it? The front page is basically what's in the news cycle. If it's in the news cycle, I should be mentioning it. But thank you. That's very kind of you to say, Fallen Firebird. Okay, next one. Acid Helm says, if you are concerned about what your kids are viewing online, then monitor their devices. Yeah, exactly. Perfectly put. It's as simple as that, isn't it? But no, that would require you to actually be a parent, wouldn't it? Yeah. Completely agree, of course. Yeah. Oh, I can't be bothered to do that. Let's just censor all of society. Say what, 90% of parents, according to Labour's own data. Don't believe that anyway. Okay, and the last rumble rant, again from Fallen Firebird, says, the story of Sultan Murad's death at Kosovo is incredible. As it became clear that the Serbians had lost, a unit of knights supposedly charged the centre, and a guy called Milos Obilić assassinated him. Yeah, I have looked that up before, that particular charge. Serbian shows, they're very proud of it, aren't they, the Serbian people? Very, very proud of particularly that. It's one of their sort of, one of part of their legend, part of their lore, L-O-R-E, lore. Yeah, fascinating one. It's a good one. All right, let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chats. Harry, you need to bring that up on my screen for me, if you don't mind. Make it so, Gage. There it is. Okay. All right, there's quite a lot of them. There's quite a lot of them, so thank you to everyone that sent them in, but this morning I'm going to whip through them a bit. I say that nearly every morning, don't I? I whip through them. I haven't got time to give you a comment on every single one, but then I nearly always do. All right, let's go. Here we go. Right. RestoreMaxer69 says, show packs more punch than John Prescott's left jab. Thank you, that's kind. And I remember that. Someone threw an egg point blank at John Prescott. He was Tony Blair's deputy prime minister. I threw an egg at his head, but from point blank range. I was standing right next to him. Have you ever been hit by an egg? Have you ever been in an egg and flower fight? You're hit by an egg. It's a little bit like getting hit by a stone. It's not much softer than that. Anyway, John Prescott turns around, doesn't know what he's been hit by. Turns around, just, yeah, straight left, straight to his chin. I think it was a left. Just punched the guy in the face without thinking, like a knee-jerk, almost like a knee-jerk reaction. I think John Prescott had been a boxer as a younger man. Believe I'm right in saying that. Okay. This show, The Bo Show, packs more punch than that. Nice. Thanks, Restore Maxer. All right, the next one. Brett Norman. Yeah, Brett Norman says, kids in Australia got around it in days. Oh, yeah, I read that one earlier, didn't I? Yeah, in the social media ban. Yeah, If you're 14 or 15 or 16, you're almost certainly savvy enough, or you know someone is, that says, oh, you just go on this website. Whatever you want to go on, take the link, put it in there, boom, there you go. It's going to be ridiculously straightforward, isn't it? Someone's going to create an app or a website that just does that every time. The government ban that, shut that down. No, just make another one. Just mirror it. Host it somewhere in the world where you can't get to it. Simplicity. Simplicity itself. Okay. Amazing Disgrace. I like that. Amazing Disgrace 911 says, you're right. It's not about the kids. They just want you to identify yourself at every turn. Right, yeah. Because you can't be anonymous. If you say or do something they don't like, they want to be able to come and arrest you. To close it down. Shut your mouth. Yeah, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Erwin Romulus, superfan, how are you, sir? Says, Mrs. Romulus starts her new job today. Oh, best of luck, best of luck. It's a big step up with much longer hours. Can we please have a salute from the glorious band to wish her well? People in the chat, if you're still in the chat, give a salute. What is it, you type in O, the letter O, lowercase O, and the number 7. It's a little man, isn't it? Do that. Wish Mrs. Romulus all the best for her first day in her new job. Okay, the Educated Yobo, that's their name, at the Educated Yobo, says, what people don't know is that the government defines social media as, quote, websites that allow user-generated content, messaging, and public discussion, quote. This can be applied to practically everything. Yeah, that's what they do. That's how it works. That's how that sort of thing always works. We're going to ban something or prescribe something, whatever it is, but we'll define what are the parameters of that thing. Lo and behold, they can define it as anything. Like, we're going to make racism or Islamophobia illegal, but we're going to define exactly what that means. It can mean anything. Lo and behold, we've decided it can mean anything we want it to. It's a straightforward trick, isn't it? It's barely a trick. It's just what they always do. It's what they've always done. Yeah. Okay, Something Wickedly, which is Shona, superfan Shona, says, you can't do a deal with the devil. I guess she's talking about Iran. Yeah. I mean, Iran accused the United States of being in bad faith and impossible to deal with and not being a good partner to deal with. And although that may be true on some levels, that they're duplicitous and all that sort of thing, Iran is much, much more so that, though, aren't they? Yeah, the Americans, the State Department is a bit duplicitous and untrustworthy, sure. The Iranian government is more so, to orders of magnitude more, aren't they? You cannot trust them on any level ever, can you? I don't think you can. I really don't think you can. Difficult to deal with people that you simply can't trust ever. Although, you can trust that they're untrustworthy. That makes sense. For what that's worth. Shona again says, is the Ayatollah still alive and homosexualist? I don't know what you're talking about. The new Ayatollah, the Ayatollah's son, who got half blown up. Seems like he did get half blown up in that thing. They're saying he's still alive, aren't they? But he's missing a leg, or like his face is badly burnt, his lips were burnt off or something. They haven't shown him, have they? I suspect he's terribly wounded, if alive at all. Okay, Pixel Rick, I'm Pixel Rick, says, we're free. Sullivan is gone. Fancy tagging along to West Ham Millwall with me next season. I'll pay for your ticket. Also, Sullivan is he? I didn't see that in the news this morning. I didn't look at the news much on Sunday, only a little bit, but. Anyway, Sullivan's gone. Go to the next West Ham Millwall game. I wouldn't mind, actually. It'd be quite nice. It's been a long time since I went to a West Ham game. Long time. Like a few good few years. Oh yeah, West Ham got relegated. So Millwall in the Championship. That'll be interesting. For anyone who doesn't know, West Ham and Millwall, two London clubs, that massive rivals, the biggest of rivals. They haven't been in the same league, literally, for a long time, so never really played each other. But now they will be, I believe. Yeah, or twice, at least twice next season. We'll see if there's trouble on the terraces. Even though we don't have terraces anymore. All right, moving on. Emily for Restore says, parents can't police everything their kids see online. Under 16s shouldn't have smartphones. End of childhood. No censorship for the rest of us. Okay, I mean, it's an okay sentiment in theory, isn't it? But that's not where it will end. Like, in theory, if you can say, under 16s or maybe a little younger, under 14s or whatever, can't have it. And then for everyone else, no censorship whatsoever. But that's just not simply how our government thinks or behaves, or nearly all governments throughout history. They're like, well, here's an avenue, here's a vein for us to explore where we can increase our power. It's like they can't stop themselves from doing it. They won't stop themselves from doing it. So it's not a bad sentiment, Emily, for Restore, on paper. Just the reality of it. It's not realistic. Unfortunate, isn't it? Horrible, horrible to say. All right. Toran Citrine. Is that how you want that pronounced? Toran Citrine says, what do you think about the SOMI age limit not applying to Blue Sky? Oh, right, yeah. The government released a list of the first few sites they want to block, and it was things like Facebook, Reddit, Twitter, a number of things like that, Threads. Not Blue Sky. Where there's just as much filth and subversion as anywhere else. But not Blue Sky. Of course, because it's leftist, isn't it? It's lefty-leaning. That gives you the measure of it, doesn't it? Gives you the measure of it. Yeah. Okay, Jennifer Lynn, 99, says, big fan from Quebec, Canada. Oh, cheers. Oh, Canada. Thank you very much. I love it when people are fans from all around the world. I love it. It's great. It's amazing, really. You know, I'm sitting here doing my thing, and someone says they're from Quebec. Someone says I'm from Patagonia or something. It's like, oh, wow. Amazing. Really is amazing. Jennifer Lynn says, I just saw Starmer's speech on social media. Did he make it right now? Did he make it during this show? He, quote, wants kids to be safe, quote. I have some practical, physical ideas. Keep on you. Oh, thank you. Well, thank you. Yeah, I just don't believe it's about kids' safety. I don't care about that. That's merely the pretext, isn't it? The sort of the cynical, contrived reason. It's not about that, it's about power. Okay. Shona again says, has Bumham stopped his fake exercise regime? Yeah, I haven't seen him jogging in a while. Yeah. Pretending to be, he can get back on the pies. He's obviously a pie eater, isn't he? Yeah, like he was ever a jogger. All right, David Betts, 1180, says, I wonder what our actual GDP percentage spend is if you take off Trident. We should fund that separately. And military pensions. It'll be embarrassing. Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably right. Yeah. If you calculate these things in a slightly different way, ever so slightly different way, suddenly the numbers are way worse than you think. The government and the Treasury do that so badly. All sorts of things, they'll spin. Like unemployment figures, immigration figures, whatever, GDP, will spin it in a really, really specific sort of tortured way to make it seem a lot better than it really is. Whiz This, that's their name, at Whiz This says, keep keeping us English hopeful. Have a good day, mate. Yeah, cheers. Nothing is over. Great sentiment. Nothing is over. We've barely begun. The lion is barely awakening. We've only just begun. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't just roll over. Don't be a defeatist. The most disgusting thing you can do is be a defeatist. Ugh. Don't just go into the night. Don't just go into that darkness and roll over in silence. Why would you? Why would you do that? Don't do that. Where's your stiff upper lip? Where's your Agincourt spirit? Where's your Battle of Britain 1940 spirit? They will stand up, chest out, chin up. Nothing is over. We got this. Aim high, vote low, millions must go. From Simmons to Boomers. Don't be a doomer. Don't be a defeatist. Okay. Tatum says, think the ban is about young radicals. Both the protests and Restore Stroke Green kids. A legal civil version of Arab Spring government shutting off the web. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. It's exactly what it is, isn't it? Both the right wing, Restore, and the left wing, Greens. The government fears that, doesn't it? Whether it's radical left or right. Shut it down. Close them down. Silence them. Silence them. Revolting. Revolting. And it won't work. That never really works. Even in the most repressive regimes. It doesn't really work. I mean, perhaps North Korea is an exception. In history, perhaps you can find one or two exceptions where the repression is such that it does work. But nearly always, even in sort of Stalinist Russia, it doesn't work. People will find a way to communicate and get their message out. Even if it boils down to old school printing things at home, whether it's on your sort of digital printer you've bought, or an old school 18th century hand press. Yeah, and you make pamphlets. And you physically pass them out to people you know and say, after you've read it, pass it on to someone else you know. Like in Soviet Russia. Yeah? Thumbsticks. You make a video at home, you put it on a thumbstick, and you pass that round to people secretly. They can ban the internet to a very, very high degree. It won't stop people talking. It's almost impossible to prevent that. So it will never work. It's an exercise in futility, almost certainly. Okay. Still got quite a few more to get through. Okay, I'm gonna whiz through them. I really am, I'm afraid. Tatum again says, I hate the UFC ring. This is stupid, no dignity. Yeah, I said before, didn't I? It's a little bit, I think I said on Friday, it's a little bit idiocracy, isn't it? It wasn't long ago since the Americans were trying to ban UFC or MMA entirely. Right? And in the early 2000s, it was banned in most states. It was too violent. Too violent. Can't have it. And now they're doing it on the lawn of the White House. I wouldn't say I hate it. I thought it was kind of cool. But I totally understand your point of view. If you think it's stupid and undignified, I can understand that. I can. Okay. Shona again says, I went to an illegal bare knuckle years ago. Okay. Hope the statute of limitations has worn off on that. No, you couldn't be prosecuted just for going to see one. Okay, Brute Life says, there's no such thing as bad press, front page. Yeah, it's the Streisand effect, isn't it? That front page on the Mail. The evil neo-Nazis in Restore. Yeah, it's just Streisand effect. Yeah, lots and lots of people, even the Tommy fans, will be like, oh, what? They let Tommy in, finally. Finally, there's a party that acknowledges Tommy's existence. They're my guys. Yeah, pure Streisand effect. Jennifer Lynn, 99, says, I'd love to date Bo. Alas, Quebec is so far away. Sad face. Sorry. Thank you. Very kind. Very kind. Very flattering. Very, very flattering. Shona again, something wickedly says, we're neo-Nazis now. Go Angloid. Yeah. Let's just lead into it. Into it. Again, that thing of I don't care. Rupert Lowe said it, isn't it? And I don't care. Call me whatever you want. Yeah, call us neo-Nazis. Call us racists. Call us bigots. Whatever. We want our country back. Yeah, those words are not good enough anymore. You've had a good innings with that. You've had a good run with that. Trying to shut down people. Trying to shame an entire nation of people into silence. Into accepting their own destruction. Just by calling them racists or Nazis or something. You had a good innings with that. Well done, people like Shami Chakrabarty, Yasmin Ali Baba Brown, whatever. Krishnan Guru Murphy. That worked really well for a while, didn't it? Not anymore. Don't care anymore. Right, it's now an option between just putting up with that or watching your country get destroyed. Right, well, we'll just put up with your name calling. Yeah. Yep. Our Rob or Ross says, I love my country, but the George Cross flag is a bit boring. It's just a French flag with a red cross over it. Oh, right, a white flag. Very fine. The French flag is just a white flag of surrender. Okay. Ballas 12 or Ballas 12 says, as much as I'm not a fan of Iran, I think it's unfair to expect them to agree to have their nuclear plants inspected when famously Israel wouldn't allow America to inspect theirs. Fair point. This is a fair point. It is interesting, isn't it? Iran is just simply not allowed a nuclear program. Lots of countries, Iraq, Libya, a number of places. Starting putting tons of pressure on South Africa. Loads and loads of countries in the world. A lot of them terribly bad regimes. I agree with you there. I'm not a fan of Iran. Don't think this is standing for Iran, playing defence on behalf of the mullahs. Of course not. But just the principle of it. You, and you. You're not allowed to have a nuclear programme. And if you do, if you go too far down that road, we'll destroy you. Israel, crickets. Do whatever you want. Oh. All right. Okay. That's fair. All right, Tatum again says, funny, Mehmed II was 95% white, also later sultans. Mehmed the Conqueror, the one that took Constantinople in 1453. He was 95% white. I don't know about the actual shade of his skin, how much melanin he had in his skin, but he wouldn't have been 95% white, would he? They were Central Asian Turkic peoples, the Ottomans. Okay, I don't actually know his ethnic breakdown. Were they able to do a DNA test on him or something? Okay. There's still quite a few here. So, Daniel Butchers says, Edinburgh to Makersfield is 4 hours, not 8 hours. The praise was not needed. I've got sick of hearing. I prefer Restore, but I'm worried about splitting. Oh, yeah, that was on. We did the Sunday night live stream. Sunday night TESOP. I remember now. Yeah, Daniel Butcher says, he's driven from Edinburgh to Makersfield. A bunch of times. Brilliant. Patriot. Based. Love it. And I said, how far is that? That's like 8 hours, isn't it? He said, it's only 4 hours. Still. Bloody good dedication. And you're sick of hearing the worried about splitting the vote. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. There's no vote splitting. There's Restore who want to do something about our demographic decline and the possibility of us descending into a sectarian nightmare. And there's all the other parties, including Reform, that don't seem to care about that. Remember when Steve Eddington asked Nigel about his concerns about demographic replacement? Are you concerned about that, Nigel? No, came back the answer. Just no. No. Started talking about integration. Right. So Restore isn't splitting any vote. There's the globalist containment parties and there's Restore. So there's no vote splitting going on. Yeah, I agree with you, Daniel. It's annoying, isn't it? All right. Mike Jones says, anti-whiteism must be stopped and white guilt stopped. Yeah, no more white guilt. Yeah. Now, we're not guilty of any sort of crimes of our ancestors. There's nothing wrong with intrinsically being white. Nothing wrong with it. Of course, absolutely, 100%. I think future generations will look back on this period as a type of insanity. That whole idea, that concept was able to get any sort of traction. Okay, there's a few more. It's now 5:30. LJ Envy says, Bo, you magnificent man. Thank you. Angloid should sue the Daily Mail. Calling him a Nazi is just incitement to violence. Aim high, vote low, millions must go. Yeah. Lorcan is his real name. They're putting him in a bit of danger, aren't they? Printing his real name. I mean, his real name's out there. It's not like they doxed him. His real name is out there. But he's potentially putting him in a bit of danger, isn't it? Thanks for that mail group. The Daily Mail. Absolute filth. All right, Mike Jones again says, how are the child abuser gangs alive and walking? Okay. Again, because of T's and C's and the police, can't really add much to that. But you asked the question, how are they still alive and walking? Donation, and next one is user 4491. Well, just to add to that real quick. Rupert Lowe and Restore want to do a referendum to bring back the death penalty, don't they? I would be in favour of that. Okay, user 4491 says, donation for Nate's mullet fund. I was joking that. Try and put pressure on Nate, Mr. H Reviews, to grow a mullet. He won't do it. He won't do it. Don't worry. It's funny. He's got no intention of doing it. Okay. W.N. Cheethran. Is that how you would say that? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, thanks for the super chat. You say, cheers from the Southeast United States this muggy morning. Oh, cheers. Southeastern, what are we talking? What are we talking? Florida? What? Pensacola? Where are you from? Let me know. Okay. All right. Muggy, are you in the Everglades? Okay. Last two then. They're both from Tatum2733. And you say, has Iran really lied since the war started? Yeah, loads. Is that a genuine question? Yeah, loads. And then, you also say, he was the Ottomans married Greek for 9 generations. Oh, right, okay. Mehmed II. The Ottomans had married Greek people for generations already by that point. Oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, no, fair point then. All right, well, fair point. Well corrected. Well done. Good. All right, that's the show. It's now 32 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time. Don't say I'm not generous. It's only supposed to be an hour-long show. Got an extra 32 minutes of your local neighbourhood history, bro, this morning for free. Thanks for joining me. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, the best among us. It's great. So many super chats. Getting involved in the poll. Loads of people in the poll. Thank you so much. Without you guys, it's not a thing. It really, really isn't. It just is not. So thank you for joining me. Can't thank you enough. All right. Well, until tomorrow morning, try and make the best of the day ahead. You know, carpe diem if you can. Seize the day. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. I know it's not always easy, and you've got lots of commitments and things. But if you can, if you're at liberty to use your time wisely today, make the best of it. Please do. Seize that day. All right then, without being too preachy about it, until tomorrow morning, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.